So we're going to continue our series this morning on detox. You know, the things that we do, the things that we think, what we believe, maybe some of the products we use. Pastor Steve has done a really good job over the last few weeks about talking about the issues of detoxing from the things that are harmful to us. You know, he's covered things like the wicked and social media. You know, many of you stopped using Facebook as a result of his topic of social media. And then last week he hit on the topic of politics. I love one of the statements that he made. It's, if you're more loyal to a political leader you've never met than the friends you really know, then politics is probably something that's very toxic in your life that you need to step away from. This week we're going to look back at the toxic nature of what I'm going to call as perfectionism. Up until now, Pastor Steve has given these warning statements. Hey, don't make any decisions based on what you hear this morning. If there's toxic people in your life, you need to find counsel before you jump to a conclusion. This morning, we're going to talk directly to you as an individual. The toxic nature of perfectionism in your own life. And so I'll give you the definition from a perfectionist of what perfectionism really is. The unhealthy desire for everyone and everything to be right. That is according to your own standard and definition of what is right, despite your own inability to live up to that same standard. So like I said, this is a perfectionism definition from a perfectionist. So of course it's right. To make it much simpler, it's your way is always right no matter what. You know, and when I began to think about this, began to process this, the first show that came to mind is the quintessential perfectionist family. Marie in Everybody Loves Raymond is that quintessential perfectionist. When she's around, no matter what, there's nothing you can do that's right. She knows how to cook better. She knows how to clean better. She knows how to parent better. Everything to do with relationships, she's better at. Whatever the topic is, Marie has the answer. And she knows everything that's right. But you know, if you really think about it, she's probably not the only one like that, is she? You know, we all have some perfectionist tendencies in our own life. How many of you have ever sat down and said, you know, I need to take this toilet paper roll off and turn it around because it's not right? It goes under, not over. Or it goes over, not under. You do that in your own house. What's worse is you go to somebody else's house and you readjust their toilet paper roll. Why? Because it's your way or the highway. You're the only one that knows the right way to do it. Maybe it's an issue of the toothpaste in the tube. You know, do you spend time every morning frustrated that nobody else can push it from the bottom to the top or from the top to the bottom? Or maybe it's when you open a cabinet in your kitchen and nothing is arranged correctly. We call that OCD. Really, it's just nothing more than perfectionism in your life. You got to have everything aligned to your standard, to what you believe is right. Maybe it's driving in here this morning. You approach the construction zone and you see this little merge sign. And you being a good driver, doing everything that's right according to your own standard, you move over 3 miles ahead of when the lane actually ends. And then you get frustrated and angry at everyone else because they didn't wait, because they waited until the very last moment to slide over. You've probably got some perfectionist tendencies in your life you need to address. And then maybe if this is your motto, if you want it done right, and if you finish that statement, you got some perfectionist tendencies in your own life. Because if you want it done right, the perfectionist says, then do it yourself. Moving away from these tendencies is not going to be easy. And in fact, it's going to take some intentionality on your part every day to move away from these things. And over time, you'll have life experience of moving away from the toxic nature of perfectionism. And believe it or not, there are many examples in the Bible, but there's one clear example in the Bible we're going to talk about today. His name is Paul. He started out with the name Saul. And we're going to look at the very end of his life, 30 years after beginning a journey with Jesus. He's going to make a statement that makes us realize that there is a place in our life to overcome perfectionism. He's going to write a letter to a young man named Timothy, who he left in Ephesus to get the church in order there. And he's going to write this letter in such a way that it's going to encourage Timothy to understand the principle that we're going to talk about today of detoxing from perfectionism and realizing there's a better way to do life than being perfect in your own eyes. And so as we begin this morning, we're going to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. If you'll grasp this principle, your relationships will become healthier. more joy will fill your life, and more love will experience in the people around you. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, it says this. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. So what he's saying literally is, hey, Timothy, listen up. About what I'm about to tell you, you need to hear, you need to understand, and you need to apply. And that goes for all of us this morning. We need to hear, we need to understand, and we need to apply this principle. Christ Jesus came into the world to save a sinner, of which I am the worst. But for that very reason, because I am the worst of all sinners, he has shown me mercy, the worst of sinners, so that Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now I want to put it into our DNA. Now, Paul is saying, hey, I'm the worst of sinners, but Jesus Christ came to save me. He came to show me a better way. And when he came to show me a better way, the worst of all sinners, it was through his immense patience. And because of his immense patience in me, showing me a better way, showing me that progress is better than perfection, he now uses me to show all those around me that they can have a relationship with him, that they can enjoy for all eternity. You see, when we practice patience, others will take notice and enjoy a relationship with him that will last for all eternity. You know, as we begin this morning, before I actually get to the principle, I just want to share with you how this came about in my own life. My daughter and I think a lot. Ashley, this is for you this morning. I told you that I will give you credit one time, and after that I'm stealing this, and so here's your credit. Ashley and I were texting back and forth a few weeks ago and trying to encourage her to live a life that she'll be proud of, to continue going and doing things that will make her children smile. And she texted me back this statement. She said, I will take progress over perfection any day of the week today. And it hit me, and I thought, you know, that really sums up what so much of Jesus wants us to realize, that he's not about perfection in our life as much as he is about progress in our life. And so then we began to do on Monday night a series in 1 Timothy and look through that book, and we got there the first night, and I love the book of Timothy. It means so much to me about how Paul is writing to this young man and giving him instructions and trying to make his life better. I really connect with that, and that night I saw something I hadn't seen before. And in this verse, Paul says that Christ came to me to do one thing, and that is to show his immense patience in my life so that I make progress and stop trying to be a perfectionist. And I just begin to think and let that process in my life. And here's what I want you to understand. Patience is the difference between progress and perfection. Patience is the difference between progress and perfection. When we learn patience with others as they make progress through this life, that is one way God will break down non-essential barriers between them and himself. When we give them the opportunity to make mistakes and we don't cast them aside, when we give them the opportunity to try things and we don't push them away, but we realize and we show patience and just be a part of their progress, God will break down barriers between them and him, that they might know him and begin a relationship with him that will last for all eternity. And that is what Paul says his purpose was, but that's not how Paul started. You see, Paul started out as it's either my way or the highway. We find Paul when he was named Saul back in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. We actually see him just before that when he was part of the stoning of Stephen. And something about that stoning of Stephen put a fire in him to lash out against Christians. It's almost like he said, if you're not going to do it right, then don't do it at all. Isn't that what a lot of perfectionists say? If you're not going to do it right, then don't do it at all. And so in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, Saul looks at this and says, hey, you know what? It's not just enough to persecute Stephen. Let's go beyond that. And so it says, while Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, or who claimed to be a Christian, that's what they used to call Christians, the way, whether men or women, he might take them prisoners to Jerusalem. It wasn't enough to just see the persecution of Stephen. Saul wanted to take that to the world. He wanted to go out and stomp this out. Perfectionism at its extreme is this idea of my way or the highway. It wasn't enough that Paul saw the persecution. He wanted to lead the persecution. If you're not going to do it right, then don't do it all, was his mentality. Now, maybe you don't have that mentality. Maybe it's not quite that extreme, but here's the thing. If you don't get a hold of these perfectionist tendencies early in your life, that's where you'll end up. Let me just use something very simple that most of us have in our kitchen. It's called the dishwasher. Now, how many of you have gone to the dishwasher? You got some dishes, and you open the dishwasher, and you just immediately get frustrated. You put your dishes back in the sink, you reach into the dishwasher, and you start pulling all the dishes out of the dishwasher because they're not put in there correctly. They've not been rinsed correctly. And the more you do it, the more frustrated you get. And when you're all done, you put everything back and you go, good thing I was here. Had to put it right. It's the only way the dishes are going to get clean if it's done my way. You see, that's a perfectionist tendency. How many of us, all right, guys, this is more on us, ladies, we don't know how to do laundry, but we want to try. And so we separate the clothes, but, you know, it's never the right way. And so we want to do the laundry, and so we take it down, and we put it in the washing machine, and we don't set it on the right setting. It should have been cold, we put it on hot. Should have been hot, we put it on cold. It should have been warm, we pick something else. What's that steam setting all about anyway? You do all this, and you come in and tell us nothing you did was right. You know, eventually, we're going to stop doing anything. Because here's the thing. If you're to the point you would rather do it yourself than allow someone to learn with patience and make progress, then you're probably damaging the relationship. And a damaged relationship over time will eventually just shut down. We'll eventually just stop doing anything. And the moment Saul began a relationship with Jesus, he began a long journey of realizing patience is essential for progress to take place. Patience is essential for progress to take place. Because perfection leads to judgmental attitudes. He was a Pharisee. In fact, he will say later on when he gives his testimony, he says, I was the Pharisee above all Pharisees. I was the most judgmental one of all. You see, that's what perfection leads to. Is a pharisaical lifestyle where only your way is the right way. And so over time, he began seeing the damaging effects that this lifestyle was having on people, and God began to change. Now consider this. Sometimes we are so caught up in our toxic lifestyle, we don't even see it. We don't even realize it. And that's where Saul was. And so Saul has these letters, and he begins his journey to Damascus to search out all these Christians, all these people who call themselves the Way. And on the way to persecute these Christians, God, through Jesus, interfered in Saul's life. And you know, so many times it takes something from God to wake us up. It takes a moment in time, something beyond anything we could imagine, to grasp our attention, to knock us off our horse, to knock us to the ground, to make us realize that we're living a toxic lifestyle. And that is exactly what happened to Saul that day. You see, from the very beginning, when Jesus knocked him down, blinded his eyes, and said, hey, Saul, what are you doing? Saul couldn't help but learn patience. In fact, he was blinded for 3 days, had to be led into Damascus. And for somebody like Saul, that took a great deal of patience because he was in charge. He was the one that knew what to do. And here he was, blind and in total need of somebody else to guide him. And in fact, he had to wait on one of the people he would have persecuted had Jesus not interfered in his life to come and take the scales from his eyes and set him on a new mission. You see, sometimes we need Jesus' interference to show us our toxic lifestyle so we can begin a new way. And so as soon as Saul was better in Damascus, he began preaching, he began teaching, and you can imagine the Christians were leery of him. The Jews were hating him, and so it wasn't long there was a plot to kill him, and he had to escape from Damascus, and he went back to Jerusalem. It didn't get any better in Jerusalem. When he got back to Jerusalem, the Jews hated him because they thought he was a traitor. The Christians were afraid of him because they thought he was faking it and he was still going to persecute them. And so there was a time that even in Jerusalem, he had to be patient and allow God to work in his life. And along came this guy named Barnabas. And it's in Acts chapter 9 and verse 27, we find where Barnabas steps up, sticks his neck out on the line to allow Saul the opportunity to grow, to progress in this relationship with Jesus. And it says this in Acts chapter 9, but Barnabas took Saul and brought him to the apostles. You see, it took somebody outside of himself, having patience with him, having seen the progress in his own life, to interfere and take him into the church, take him into where God's people were. And he told them how Saul, on his journey to Damascus, had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And so Saul stayed with them, stayed with the apostles, stayed with them in the church, and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. You know, you might say, well, what does that have to do with perfectionism? Paul had to realize he was dependent on others and their progress and their patience in order to make a difference in his life and in the lives of God would bring across his path. You see, in the old days, Paul would have just went in and kicked down the door and said, I got something to say and you need to listen to it. Does that sound like us sometimes? We just want to kick the door down because what we have to say is the most important, or what we have to do is the most important, or how we want to do it is the right way. You see, that's a perfectionist tendency that needs to go away. And perfection prevents the individual from actually being an individual. We want everybody to be like us, and then we're not happy with them because we can't live up to our own standards, and they can't live up to our standards, and so nobody wants to be around us. Why? Because we can't see the individual. Perfection is blinding us. It prevents us from seeing others' strengths. In fact, patience in the progress allows each individual to strive to be the best that God has called them to be. That's what Barnabas saw in Saul. He said, you know, I'm going to have patience with you, and I'm going to let the progress take place in your life, and you're going to become the best that God wants you to be. That's the difference between perfectionism, which blinds us, and patience and progress, which pushes us forward. Here's an interesting side note that in another study that I'm doing in the book of Acts, I had never seen this before. When you look at this early persecution, it begins and ends with one guy named Saul. The intensity is started after the death of Stephen, and it subsides as Paul comes to know Jesus and begins this patient progress toward a relationship with him that he can enjoy for all eternity. Look in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Then the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. If you're an extreme perfectionist like Paul was, or even have perfection tendencies like Paul did, what might change in your environment when you begin to change and progress towards Jesus? What happened in the church and in Jerusalem was they experienced peace and joy. What would it be like in your life and in your environment and the lives of those around you when you started practicing patience and realized all of us need to make progress? Here's what I wrote down. Peace and joy are present where progress is promoted. Peace and joy are present where progress is promoted. And I want you to understand, progress is just that. It's progress. You're not going to get it right. Paul didn't get it right. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have failures. We're going to have slip-ups. We're going to step back. All those things are going to take place, but that's part of progress. It's an ongoing lifestyle that we need to engage in. In fact, perfection blinds us many times from our own faults. You ever feel like you get something going straight and you're doing good and you're doing good and bam, all of a sudden it feels like you took two steps back? That's because perfectionism, your desire to be right and everybody else to be right, is blinding you from your own faults. We all have a tendency to do this. In fact, Paul was no different. Paul and Barnabas, after this experience, went out and they did what we call or refer to as their first missionary journey. They were out for several years. They come back, and which is really attributed to the patience that Paul is experiencing, the progress that he's experiencing. They come back because there's an issue they want to address with the church at Jerusalem and get some instruction. Before, Paul would have just made his own thing up and he'd have pressed forward out in the field, but he found it necessary to demonstrate the progress that he was making, to come back and demonstrate the patience, put himself under the authority of the church in Jerusalem, and get some clarification before he and Barnabas would go back out. So in Acts chapter 15, verse 37 and 40, Paul and Barnabas decide it's time to go back out. And it says this: Barnabas wanted to take John, who's also referred to as Mark, with them. But Paul didn't think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement. This wasn't just that, hey, I don't want to take Mark. This was so sharp. This was so egregious to Paul that they parted company. Here's the truth of the thing. Paul had forgotten so much of what Barnabas had done for him. His perfection tendencies had come back, and he was willing to split the church before he would let Mark go with him. So watch how it finishes. And Barnabas took Mark. The guy that took Paul under his wing, he looked and took Mark under his wing. Paul took Mark, and they sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas, and they just left. They just left. The first division of the church was over somebody who felt he was right and the other person was wrong. Mark left them on their first missionary journey. But you see, perfection tendencies don't let us see progress in people or even potential in people. You know, Paul looked at Mark and said, hey, you left me once, you'll leave me again, and I'm not going to deal with that. That's perfectionism at its worst. You look at somebody and you don't want to see their progress. You don't want to see their potential. You don't want to see anything in their life. You just want them to conform to what you believe. And if they won't do that, then hit the highway. And the more we do that, the more people will hit the highway. But the more we open up our hearts and open up our lives and practice patience like God does for us, the more we allow them to progress, the more they'll see Jesus and their need for a relationship with him that will last for all eternity. You see, Paul would say, I want nothing to do with you. And Barnabas said, hey, Mark, the ball is in your court. Yeah, come on, let's go. It's up to you how long you stay. I just want you to make progress. Man, I'm telling you, when we will get that mindset, joy and peace will fill our souls. All of us are guilty in some form or fashion. We lack the patience necessary many times to allow someone else to progress at their own pace. We think they ought to progress at our pace. That's perfectionism. We think that they ought to be on our level. That's perfectionism. You see, God made them unique as an individual, and God is showing them patience the same way he is showing us patience. And God is asking them to progress the same way he's asking us to progress. And I guarantee you, those paces are completely different based on who God has created us to be. Let me give you another example. I'm going to pick on some teachers now. I'm not an English major. In fact, my wife looked at my notes for this one and says, you always write like that? Yep. I always write like that. I need to show patience because that irritated me. You know, this is just me. This is just the way I think. But sometimes somebody sends you a note. They send you a letter. They send you a text. They post something on Facebook. And if you have a perfectionist tendency, you focus more on the errors than you do on the message. You focus more on the mistakes. Oh, they used the wrong there. They use the wrong two. And you miss the meaning of their message because you're focused on their errors, on their mistakes. And so let me ask you a question. Consider this. Are you more interested in correcting or connecting? And the answer to that question will lead you either to accepting progress or demanding perfection. Are you more interested in correcting or connecting? One will lead you to progress, and one will lead you to perfection. The choice is totally up to you. You see, as long as Saul was focused on what was not being done, he would never celebrate what was accomplished. You see, Mark left his home on that first missionary journey, and he traveled with him as far as he could. But then something happened, and he felt like he needed to return. That is progress. But what Saul saw was he left us. He didn't do it all the way. He didn't go all the way. He didn't stay with us, and that's a perfectionist mindset. Let me ask you this. When you come home from work, or maybe you've been out shopping, or maybe you've been out golfing, or maybe you've been out fishing, or maybe you've just been away from the home, what's the first thing you see when you walk in the door? What's been done or what's not been done? One will lead to relationship strengthening, and one will lead to relationship building. You see, so many of us focus on what's not been done, and we allow our perfectionist tendencies to cloud the way that we view people and we view life around us. We need to understand That if those are your traits, if you look at what's not been done over what has been done, then you have some perfectionist tendencies, at least based on my definition. And as a perfectionist, that's the right definition, and you need to adhere to it. I'm joking, but in all seriousness, if you look at what's not been done over what has been done, there's an issue that's causing a divide in your relationships. The more we practice patience, the more progress we make. The more progress we make, we allow other people to make around us, which over time shows us their potential. Our patient progress allows us to see the potential in others. Let me say that again. Our patient progress allows us to see potential in others. And that is exactly what happened to Paul over time. We don't know exactly where, but we know somewhere on this journey, Paul began to view Mark in a different light. You see, he was willing to divide the church earlier. And at the end of his life, some 30 years after he started this journey with Jesus, he sees Mark in a completely different view. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul, writing to Timothy once again, he says this. He says, "Go get Mark and bring him with you." This is the very same Mark that a few years earlier he looked at and said, "You're worthless. I'll divide the church over you. I don't want anything to do with you." He now sees Mark in a different light. And here's what I want you to understand. Yeah, Mark probably changed, but Paul changed the most. He began to see people through the progress that God was showing him with patience in his own life. And he says this at the end of that verse, "Because Mark is helpful to me and in my ministry." You see, when you have patience and make progress in your own life, you'll view people completely different. You'll see that they're beneficial. It's not so much what they're doing is right or wrong, is what they're doing effective? Is how they're doing it? Is how they're loading the dishes in the dishwasher, does it meet the need of cleaning the dishes? Is how they're doing laundry, does it meet the need of doing laundry, of getting the clothes cleaned? I fold clothes. I shouldn't fold clothes. It's probably easier for me just to roll them up and put them in a drawer. But my wife, Kelly, allows me so much patience when I fold her clothes. I know sometimes she's got to go refold them behind me because she probably doesn't know what that piece of clothing is. But she is practicing patience and allowing me to make progress in the little things in life, and it makes a difference in our relationship. And that is what God is calling us to do in a larger picture. You see, somewhere along the line, Paul, on his journey, realized just because someone might be doing it differently, he's asking himself, is what they're doing effective? And my guess, somewhere along this journey, Paul realized the patience of God that was in his own life. He realized what God was doing him and how he was demonstrating patience in his own life and allowing him to make progress. And he probably looked at it somewhere along the way and said, "You know what? I probably ought to be doing that too. You know, it shouldn't be my way or the highway. It shouldn't be these perfectionist tendencies. It should be patience so that they can make progress, so that they might have a loving relationship with Jesus that would last for all eternity." You see, as we close here this morning, there's a passage that talks about how God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. If you put it in the context of what we're talking about today, you see, God's strength is made perfect in my imperfections. You see, his patience with my imperfections allows me to make progress, which demonstrates his power. And when we grasp that, other people will see that, and he will demonstrate his immense patience in our life so that others might realize that they need a loving relationship with Jesus Christ that will last all eternity. Maybe you've heard somebody say, "I can't believe that so-and-so has changed that much." What is causing the change in their life becomes an attractant. And when it's the patience of God allowing progress in your life, they will begin to ask the question, "What is different? What has changed?" And they just might realize that it's a loving relationship with Jesus Christ that they can enjoy for all eternity because of what God is practicing in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. God, I personally thank you for the patience that you demonstrate to me through the years. God, I have been so hard-headed in so many areas of my life. And as I have been allowing you these last few weeks just to process this, the tears that have flowed, the moments that I've looked back and seen your patience that has allowed me to progress. God, I'm just humbled by that. It literally brings me to my knees. And so, Father, I would pray that those who hear this today, that they would look back over their life and do an evaluation and see where your patience is present and see what has been changing in their own lives and experience your immense patience in a new and fresh way and realize that they aren't where you want them to be, but they aren't where they used to be either. God, may they realize the progress that they're making and the impact that they're having on those you place in their path so that, Father, we all might make progress towards you. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen.